LOI Central. It's not just football.
And welcome along to LOI Central, episode 28. Very, very sad looking at the league table there the other day. The season is coming to an end, slowly but surely. But on today's LOI Central, in association with futureticketing.ie, we have the head of sport in RTE, Declan McBennett, who's going to come on and talk about RTE's coverage of the game. We're going to also hear from Owen Toll and Ian Birmingham after, I don't know, there's a mad bit of crack really in the League of Ireland over the last few days in terms of the league and the FEI Cup. Later on in the show, Dan is going to come up with one of his epic and unique four-star pizza questions, and we're going to have a bit of crack on that. But this is obviously a bit of a unique show with Declan McBennett coming on, and we are here in Oliver Marketing out in Glasnevin, Dan.
Yeah, no, listen, there's a lot going on in the league in the last week, but I think we can review and preview that and talk about the implications maybe next week, because we do have Declan on. It's quite a lengthy interview, but it's obviously a hot talking point in the league this year has been the TV coverage, and specifically, I suppose, the RTE coverage. So we have a guest from the top of RTE who can reflect that, and yeah, people can listen to that and form their own opinions. What I would say is, yeah, I mean, it has been an entertaining week in the sense of, well, actually the cup quarterfinals wasn't the most appealing list of games on paper, yet it ended up being quite entertaining.
UCD Waterford was a brilliant game.
Bowes and St Pat's got through, as you would expect, Pat's with a bit of drama. UCD Waterford, some people said that was the best game they've seen all season. Finn Harps Dundalk, it was a game I watched, incredible drama. Dundalk from
what three, about the boy Boyd since he came on the show?
Yeah, and I saw him earlier and I'm delighted for him. Scored a brilliant goal last night in the replay. But then you go on to Bowes Derry on Monday, which to me is the best game I've been at this season in terms of end-to-end drama. We'll hear from Owen Toll in that shortly. But Georgie Kelly's goals, the confidence in his finish. He's up to 20 for the season now. And it really was one of those games where actually I'm now convinced that just having the crowds back having
such
the atmosphere is making such a difference to the product. And it's actually elevating games that might have fell away otherwise. Bowes Derry, a terrific game. It's an interesting race for Europe developing between them. And then, yeah, Dundalk last night, getting through against Finn Harps. Wasn't actually a great game, that one, compared to even the drama of the first leg, but Dundalk's big players managed the situation. They stepped up. I mean, they had all under-19s on the bench, big goals from Hooban and penalty and Duffy in extra time. But I mean, I've said it all along, this Dundalk season has been off the wall, but I'm sort of convinced that's going to end with them in the cup final. I just feel
very,
like
very
destiny.
Quick question on that. What was the happens for like at a Dundalk home game now?
That was the first proper one. Like, you'd see people, and I saw this in Daily Mount as well. You see a lot of chatter between people having their first handshake, their first discussion, hugging each other. They haven't seen them in 18, 19 months. And it's definitely like around the Dundalk game last night. I mean, there was a good buzz at the start. They fell behind early with Boyd's goal, and the man himself said it was a better goal than his one on Friday night. But then it went flat. The game went flat. But I mean, the atmosphere in extra time was really good. And there's a lot going on with the dog. I mean, even since last week's show, I had a story about a potential takeover situation, which I think is realistic. They had a supporters club meeting. Well, sorry, realistic, but a lot of hurdles to cross, should I say. We had a supporters club meeting on Monday where the chairman was meant to attend. It didn't turn up. There was a COVID outbreak.
It's all happening.
It's all going on. And the fact that they managed to somehow develop and get through was pretty admirable. But I think really for me, like the game of the season and the game was Bowes and Derry, and that race for Europe. I mean, Derry are improving under Higgins. Bowes are a good side to watch at the moment, and you know, Sligo Rovers are still in there. They lost to Shamrock Rovers on Saturday, so that's opened the door. But let's hear from Owen Toll. It was an EA Sports event today. He was involved in that Bowes Derry game, and we're going to go straight from our interview with Owen Toll when it finishes. We'll have Declan McBennett here for the interview that a lot of people are tuning in to listen to.
Oh, and I say Monday at Daily Mount was one of the games of the season, but I know from speaking to your manager afterwards there was really mixed emotions from your side of things. I mean, how do you look back on it now?
Looking back at it now, you're probably thinking should have got the 3 points, because the position we put ourselves in great position with only a couple of minutes to go, and obviously first half we didn't play as well, but we grew into the game. Second half, thought we were the better side, and I thought the boys took the goals really well, and she used two good finishes there and put them back level, and it was a late equaliser. So obviously with the time, it was at the stage of the game, and I thought we should have won it.
See Georgie Kelly over there now. I mean, Have you had a word on word
no,
today?
I haven't really got to speak on them. Yeah. Just scored a great goal, so we did. It was a great ball in and just took it down brilliantly and just banged in the roof of the net. Like, obviously, it was heartbreaking for us, but no, it was a great goal.
Can I just ask you, since Rhys Higgins come in, there's a bit of a buzz around the club, I think. I mean, well documented, maybe the owner's sold his company, Patrick McIlhenny's coming back. Is there a sense of a buzz lifting around the club again?
Yeah, definitely. I think since Rhys came in as well, like, he's lifted everybody. He's a brilliant man to work with, first and foremost, and he's a brilliant person, and all the boys love working under him. He definitely knows his football, like, and look forward to the following year. And as a buzz, yeah, there is a buzz. We'll keep on, if we keep getting good results, there's die fans will get behind us, because they're great fans, and hopefully we can start keep getting them wins.
Is it good just to get fans back in the stadium and have that feel? I know Monday didn't end the way you would have wanted, but it was a great game. Like, it was brilliant. Like, you know, there was 6 goals, fans of both sides. Yeah. I mean, it's a different game to this closed door stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. No, it was a great atmosphere. Bows always have a good atmosphere, and we obviously had travelling fans as well, and they were brilliant throughout the game as well. And when home games at the Brandywell really does give us a lift, as I said, the fans are brilliant, especially at home. And hopefully we can keep getting the results and giving them the results that they want.
Rory said that before he went in, he watched that different league documentary, the thing about Derry and the... Did you watch that?
Yeah, I watched that, yeah.
What'd you make of it?
Oh, it was brilliant. Just knowing all of the past and how they found their feet again, it was just brilliant. And obviously it's an honour to captain the club, and to play for them every week is a great honour.
What year are you born?
Yeah.
99. So, like, I mean, it's distant past stuff, but I mean, what did you make of it? Like, what was it, 10 or 15,000 people going to Cork for an away game or something?
Definitely,
can you get your head around that?
No, it's mad, but as I said, like, the Derry fans are great, like, and they're really, really passionate. It's a football town, and they really, really do get behind you, and as I said, they give you that lift, especially when you're at home.
1999. Yeah, it feels like you're one of the... You're quite an experienced player in the context of the dressing room. You know, like, there's, you look at sort of Evan McLaughlin coming on the other night, or starting the other night, some of the lads that have been involved in recent weeks who are like 17, 18, Ronan Boyce. Like, you got, I mean, do you actually feel like a sort of more experienced member of the group than maybe your age might suggest?
Yeah, definitely. Like, as I say, like, I was their age a few years ago as well, and I know what it's like. And I've been there near, I think I've been there 5 seasons now, so it's just took on the stride. And probably am one of the most more experienced players, but there is still a lot of experienced players there who helped me day to day as well. So it's good. It's good
to be captain, though. It's a nice. That's an honour.
Obviously, it's a great honour, as I said, about that documentary. It just shows you as well, like, about the history of the club and all. And it's a huge honour to be captain.
Yeah, like, you're following the footsteps of people like Ryan McBride. He would have, you know, like, I mean, that's part of the weight of the shirt, isn't it?
Yeah, right, definitely. Jersey? It's definitely pressure, but I think that. It's something you have to deal with if you're captain of such a big club as Derry.
Just be honest here, right? So you hear that the chairman has come into like a bit of money, and there's a lot of talk around it. Is players in the dressing room looking at this and going, this could be interesting? Like, he is talking about challenging for leagues. Like, I mean, he's open about it. I know your manager said the other night, listen, he was a wealthy man before. It's not as if he was like, you know, this has come out of the blue. He's supported the club very well, but. Murray did say after the game, we're looking to bring in some top players for next season. So that must be a bit of a feeling around that.
Yeah, of course there'll be a buzz about them bringing in players. But as players, we haven't really spoke about next year as this year is the most important thing. We need to keep winning and trying to get as high as we are. Hopefully get a push on for Europe with such less games. Not that many, 8 games, but still a lot of football to be played. And hopefully if we keep getting wins and see where it takes us.
I mean, it's really congested. I mean, like, third's not out of the question if you have a good run to finish the season, you know, third place.
No, I know that you just have to believe and finish the best as you can and take each game. Like, this is a hard league, there's no easy games, and one game at a time, and we'll see where we end up.
Good stuff, man. Cheers.
Declan McManus, how are you getting on?
Good, thanks, Johnny. Yourself?
Good, yeah. Just thinking, we haven't had much Monaghan on the show. Jonathan Douglas, then?
Jonathan Douglas.
Since the demise of Monaghan United, it hasn't been much of a...
I'm trying to think, yeah. I don't think we've had a massive...
Bring back Eddie Murray.
Eddie Murray, yeah. Eddie Murray, oh, God. Yeah. Well, maybe not. On reflection.
How are you getting on anyway?
Yeah, all good. It's been a very hectic summer, as you can appreciate, between the Euros, the Olympics, the Paralympics, the GAA Championship, and obviously everything else that's going on. We're coming up. We've got the rugby coming back, provincial rugby coming back on RTE. And then we have the Champions League. We've Electricity League. We've the women last night, which was a great boost. With the under-21s coming. So it's a constant, but it's a nice place to be.
And it's mad. Dan put up a reference to you coming on yesterday, Dan. There's so many questions. Like,
questions.
It's a lot of questions.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like Deirdre here. Like,
we're not going to ask all of the questions. Yeah. We will try and get through.
Are there common themes, Dan?
There would be some recurring themes. All right, I have to say there would be some crossover, which is why I say we won't be asking all of the questions. Yeah. But you are quite keen to come on and talk to us, right? You were quite keen to come on and have a discussion with us. So yeah. I'm guessing, you know, why is that? You clearly feel that maybe you want to have a discussion around your League of Ireland coverage, which, if we're honest, it has been a big discussion point across the year. You've certainly received a lot of feedback. I assume, is that
what they call it now?
Well, yeah. I had a look through your Twitter feed there recently, and you could be posting about anything, you know, and there will invariably be that League of Ireland comment that comes back at you. And myself and Johnny here, like, we both work in Off the Ball. We were previously involved with Air Sport. I work in a national newspaper. We do get comments of that nature as well. The League of Ireland fraternity are persistent, I think, in their feedback. But it does appear this year, more than any other year, there's been a certain ferocity of criticism around COVID, maybe particularly with the European Games in the summer. We'll maybe come to that, but in general, you clearly want to speak about this topic, and you want there's some matters maybe you want to address.
Yeah, which I think there's an onus on us to do, and I think it's only fair that we do that on an ongoing basis. I think basically there's two themes of criticism that come into RT Sport. Number one is, I don't like what A, B and C said about X, Y and Z. And number two is, why don't you cover more of the sport that I like? Yeah. Whatever that sport is. So the League of Ireland lobby are particularly vocal about it. And I think there has been a narrative that has developed, which doesn't actually stack up, but there is a narrative there that in some way it is perceived that RTE don't care as much about the League of Ireland or domestic soccer or soccer as a whole as they once did. There's also an effort to pigeonhole me into a particular area, which is, oh, he's a GA man, in the same way that my predecessor, Ryle Nugent, was, he's a rugby man.
A few questions of that ilk, right?
Absolutely. But the reality of it is, and I obviously don't speak for Ryle, but the reality of it is that we're the head of sport. I'm not the head of GAA. I'm not the head of soccer. I'm not the head of whatever. I'm the head of sport. And there's an onus on us to reflect that across the board. And what I've said previously is, sort of, if you went back 5 or 10 years, we would have had, relatively speaking, €100 to spend on 5 sports, of which you've 3 dominant ones and a fourth one in terms of rugby, soccer, GAA, and the fourth one is horse racing. And then you would have 1 or 2 other sports that were on the periphery and came to the fore every now and again. Now the reality of it is, because of the financial situation, which is well documented and everything else, we have probably, instead of having €100 to spend on 5 sports, we have €80 to spend on 8 or 9 sports, because we now have rowing. We've hockey that has come to the fore in recent times, particularly with the women's team. We have gymnastics. We have all the Olympic sports. And if you were talking to the Olympic sports, and if your particular grow is for the Olympic sports, you'll say, why do I see the Olympic sports on RTE every 4 years? And then they disappear for 4 years. Why isn't there a consistency of pattern there across the board? So to come back to the League of Ireland lobby, yeah, the criticism, the greatest level of criticism and the greatest, I'll be polite about it, passion with regard to that criticism comes from the League of Ireland lobby. Some of which is informed, much of which is ill-informed.
What's informed then?
Okay.
Say again?
What's informed of the criticism?
I think most people have an understanding as to why we make the decisions that we made. So Dan referred to some of the things that go into my particular Twitter account, whereby people will say, well, why wasn't that game covered? And they'll say, well, there are rights implications with regard to that, or they were covering the Euros, or they were covering the Olympics. So some people are aware of it. Some people are just not accepting of that, and they go, well, they should be doing it anyway. And the reality of it is you can't do all of it. And quite frankly, you shouldn't do all of it, no matter what the sport is. So there's a balance to be struck. And I'm sure we'll come on to it. But with regard to the European Games, that was the one that sort of tipped people over the edge with regard to, oh, RTE don't care about the Irish clubs in Europe. I got the job on the 1st of June 2018. The very, very first rates product that I bought was Cork versus Rosenborg. I was literally in the door 48 hours and that game was coming down the track. And George Hamilton was going to the World Cup, and they were two of the things that I dealt with in the first couple of days. We bought the Cork-Rosenborg game, which was in Europe. We've done Dundalk consistently in Europe against Key and against Riga, and there was one game we couldn't do for Dundalk because we were actually doing, I can't remember whether it was the Republic of Ireland under-17s or under-19s. It was the team that Joe Hodge played for.
There was a European Championship.
Yes,
on.
There was a European Championships on, and if the Republic of Ireland won their game on the Tuesday, they were due to play again on the Thursday. And we couldn't say that we could commit to the Dundalk game because it was a direct clash with the Republic of Ireland game. So we didn't do the Dundalk game. Now, it subsequently happened the Republic of Ireland didn't win their game, but it was too late at that stage. So, and then there was, as we've known, there have been a number of managers who've come out this season and said, well, you know, we're not, RTE are not interested and we should go a particular route and all that kind of stuff. And quite frankly, that doesn't stack up because, as I say, we've done Cork and Rosenborg, we've done Dundalk on an ongoing basis, we've done Shamrock Rovers this year, we did Shamrock Rovers versus AC Milan last year. We have a very consistent pattern. My view is we stick with the champions of the league in the Premier competition. So as long as they're going, we're interested in the champions. When the champions are knocked out, we have a look at what else is available on the table, as we did with Shamrock Rovers versus AC Milan, and we do the AC Milan game. So, and that's been the pattern as we've gone along. And remember, it's all of these games take considerable investment because there is a whole outside broadcast or OB structure involved behind them. Never mind the rights fee and stuff like that. So
balls would have been expensive, we'll say, in Lansdowne Road, or do you know those games?
So the balls element was that RTE were offered the games for free and didn't take them. Yeah.
Yeah, let's deal with the Bose thing now, because I wanted to, maybe just before we go to the Bose thing, actually, because I think just maybe to establish it at the start, right, I think this is important. What is your commitment, your deal with the FAI to cover League of Ireland? What is, can we just nail that down at the start, and how European Games does or doesn't affect that, which is obviously a talking point. Like, what is your commitment to X amount of games per season?
We do 15 games in the Eritrea League every year, and we do 3 in the cup. So, which is generally the 2 semi-finals and the finals, and the final rather, and then we do the women's as well. And we commit a number of OBs to those. So what we generally have done is we start with 5 or 6 at the beginning of the season, then there's a break and we come back with some in the mid-season and then towards the end, towards the title race. But the title race is often governed by how many games are actually realistically in contention at the end of the season. So, and I think one of the problems for the League of Ireland, quite frankly, over the last number of years is that Cork were winning it, then Cork disappeared, Dundalk were winning it and winning it at a canter in some cases, and now Dundalk have faded away and it looks as if Rovers are on that crest of a wave whereby they're going to win on a consistent basis.
Okay, but the 15 games, right? Yeah. This is obviously a deal you have with the FAI.
Yeah.
And this is... this is where I think there's layers to this debate, because you made a reference there a second ago, the Olympics, to the consistency of coverage, right? Now, I don't know how you would feel I think maybe it was a Conor Hoy from Drogheda United put in a question and said, what sort of deal would you be looking for if you were in the FAI? Like, I've equated it to before to like you have it's like a box set, right?
Yeah.
And you have a couple of episodes at the start.
Yeah.
There's a big thing missing in the middle.
Yeah.
And there's a bit at the end.
Yeah.
Now, Air Sport departed the scene. They used to fill the gap in the middle, which is an important point, I think, that should be made. We didn't necessarily know a year ago that Air Sport would be gone this year.
Yeah.
But can you not see now that there would be a complaint with the structure of a deal where the league goes off air for 4 months in the middle of a season, where people are talking about maybe building awareness, building familiarity with the story, that even if there was a really positive take up to the early weeks of the season and people are saying, okay, the season has taken shape, and then it's May the 7th and there's nothing again till September.
Yeah.
It's not great, like as a package. Now, maybe that's what I'm asking is, do you just do a 15 game deal with RT, with the FAI, I apologize, and they just... The thing is, you just go off and do your 15 games, or is there any more of a nuanced discussion as to, well, maybe we could do these games at such and such a time, etc., etc.
Yeah, well, you're right. Up until this season, Ayr were obviously there. So we were doing, there's 36 games in the season. We were doing 15. They were doing 15. That's 30 of the rounds covered. So out of 36, which is not bad in terms of live coverage at any level. So this year is obviously the nuance because Ayr have...
And this is why it's become, I think, such a...
Yeah, because Ayr have departed the scene. So if you look at the games we did this year, because I checked them again last night, we did games on the 19th of March, 26th of March, 2nd of April, 16th of April, 23rd of April. That's five games across the first seven weeks or so.
That leaves 10 games in the whole rest of the season, kind of.
Yeah, but again, Johnny, I suppose the point is... You know, people will say, one of the criticisms I get is we never know when the games are on. Mm. Well, actually, as proper fans, true fans, know exactly when the games are on and they follow them, and there's a pattern there. But also there's a pattern across the level of engagement with regard to those games. Okay, so and it doesn't tend to peak and trough. It tends to be it's consistent across the board. Mm. So by the nature of the deal that was there in every other year, we would start because we have the greatest level of exposure. Let's be honest about it in terms of RTE, bring that level of exposure there. So the league kicks off with as much of a bang as it can. Then Ayr stepped into the breach because we tended to go away and do summer tournaments by the nature of whatever it is. And then we would come back. And again, the whole run in, which is what you want, the maximum level of exposure to be there where you can get the maximum number of eyeballs. So it comes back to us there. But we look at the games throughout the season and we go, okay, you know, in a traditional season, of course you're going to want Dundalk Rovers, you're going to want Bowes Rovers, Ayr are going to want Bowes Rovers because that generates...
But often Rovers Bowes falls on a week where you might be doing under 20 rugby or you might be, you know... is there a discussion around this? Because I have a list of the games this year.
Yeah.
And, you know... Is there a need to get around X amount of grounds? Is that something that you're conscious of as well? For example, Drogheda St. Pat's was announced the other day for a couple of weeks' time. Now, I would look at that at this stage and go, it's potentially the second or third most interesting game that night. And just from a perspective, you know, across the week, I'm not sure how much coverage that particular game is like Sligo St. Pat's, so you could argue that point. Now, I know you will say, listen, if you're talking about the product, people should be watching it anyway.
Yeah.
But... to me, like, it's a slight frustration of mine is that there are certain marquee fixtures that always look good.
Yeah, but
and they're always going to be full in the crowd's ear. Just finished. But, you know, and the selection of, I would look at the list of games this year and you'd be thinking, I mean, they aren't necessarily keynote games in the context of the season. And could this, is there not a better way of at least showing that if there is 15 games, that they're 15 of the best games?
Yeah, I do take your point. But it's the equivalent of saying we want to see Liverpool, Man City, Man United and Chelsea on Sky Sports every Sunday and we don't want to see anybody else. So you want to see Dundalk, Rovers, Sligo and St. Pat's.
True, but like every Sunday. Champions League games, that's the sort of the policy that you might apply to some degree.
And that's very much a one-off. And the Champions League is a premium product which drives particular numbers and particular sponsors.
Yeah.
So, but are we really saying that we don't want to see Finn Harps, Waterford, Drogheda, you know, the clubs who maybe even Derry at times?
Now, some people will disagree with me saying that. Yeah. It's just my pair, and I think that's what I'm saying. I think there's something between the, there's obviously a balance of the two. But to come back to the point, sorry, about the gap, like you have to accept that what exists now with Ayr Sport departing, if you were a fan of the league in that perspective, where your product disappears for 4 months in the middle of the season, and I'm not saying that's on you, I'm just saying that that's a product of the deal that's
correct.
Been agreed.
I don't disagree with you.
Did you understand where there be some genuine anger with that?
I don't, you know? I don't disagree with you, but equally, the full onus has not been and cannot be particularly on one broadcaster. It doesn't happen in any other league, to the best of my knowledge, whereby you have multiple broadcasters and you have multiple broadcasters who want to compete for those games. Mm. You have multiple broadcasters who go, that's a premium product, I want to have some of that. Okay, and if that doesn't exist, then on one level you can say, well, they have a monopoly and, you know, that's going to lead to particular implications. On another level you say, well, why aren't there multiple broadcasters competing for this product?
Mm.
Yeah, and what can the league and the FAI do in your eyes? What can we do to make it better? Because the viewing figures, I don't know what they are. I know they could be better. I know our grounds don't look great at times. I was talking to Dan about this pre-show. We have a massive area of Leinster going into Munster where there are no League of Ireland. You're from Monaghan, there's no League of Ireland, no League of Ireland in Mayo, no League of Ireland in Kerry, no League of Ireland in Neath, all these places. We know we have kind of issues, but what can we do to make it a better product? And what do you think of the product? Because I fully believe in the product on the pitch. It's just some of the stuff off it, not so much.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with that. I think the product on the pitch, oftentimes, it can be excellent. I think,
really?
Yeah.
Do you like football in terms of where it comes in?
Yeah, I think like everything in every code, you can have good games and you can have bad games. You can have a Jordan Flores goal, you know, and it's brilliant and it lights up. You can have Tala at its best and it looks great. The two things that I think the League of Ireland need, and both of which are way beyond my control, your control and everybody else's, they need better facilities so it looks like a better product than it currently does. And secondly, they need competitive title races. It's got to be competitive. You can't have a scenario whereby Cork are winning and then fade away, Dundalk are winning and then fade away, Rovers are winning and then fade away, although I don't think Rovers will fade away. I think they've got the structures right in terms of on every level, on the financial, on the academy, on everything that's coming through. I think they're the two things that hurt the game most. In terms of the game on the pitch, I think when you watch it, it's a decent game. Sometimes it's very good. Sometimes it's average. You can say that when you watch any code or any sport, and you can watch the Premier League and you go, that was amazing. You can watch Liverpool United and it's a 0-0 bore fest.
Yeah, I suppose and closed doors football didn't suit the League of Ireland.
It didn't suit anybody. But I suppose that's what really killed me. And I'm not blaming you for not showing, I'm not blaming anyone for not showing the games, but when you see Patrick McElhinney scoring that goal against Vitesse Arnhem in a beautiful stadium, when you see the goals that Bo scored in the Aviva Stadium, that's what killed me, because this is a product that actually looks great and we have it and it's not on TV. And I'm not sure what the costs were, you know, that's up for speculation. And I know you're not obliged to show it, but that product, anyone would watch it and say, we enjoyed that and it looks great. Patrick McElhinney scored one of the best goals we'll ever see on TV from a League of Ireland player, and it wasn't on TV.
Okay, so let's talk about
Europe.
You've just done that. So let's make the differentiation here between Europe and the League of Ireland on an ongoing basis, because that's the reality of what's at play, and that's what's fed the narrative this summer in terms of. So if you asked about the numbers, I'll give you the numbers. Dundalk versus Key, 147,000. Rovers versus Milan, 212,000. Dundalk versus Riga, 75,000. Cork versus Rosenborg, the two games, 66,000-69,000. Okay, so you can see that there's a huge...
That's the average. Sometimes you get people with peak and all that.
That's the average across the board. Okay, so we'll deal only here with... deal here with averages. So you've Cork Rosenborg that's getting an average of 66,000 or 69,000, and you've Rovers versus Milan, which is getting 212,000. Okay?
Milan are a big name.
Well, Milan and Zlatan was playing and it was all, you know, and it was brilliant, and that's what you want to see. Dundalk versus Key, not in the same league, quite frankly, excuse the pun, but 147,000.
7:45 kickoffs, those games. Some of those were 6 o'clock games.
Correct. So I met the League of Ireland clubs in the Aviva Stadium in late 2018 after I got the job, round about October, November time. And I said to them, in broad terms, if your product is over 100,000 of an audience, then you're flying. If it's between 50 and 100,000, legitimate questions will be asked. And if it's below 50,000, then quite frankly, you're in the drop zone, because it's in a very, very competitive environment. And the RTE scheduler and the RTE people who are in charge of this, I don't just get to go, well, we'll drop that game in there and we'll have that there. There are competing elements there across multiple genres. So they're looking at the games and they say, right, okay, well, why are we continuing to do this, or why would we do this when it's underperforming? So look at the league games. So we've done the European games, which ranged from 66 to 212. Look at the league games. 61, 42, 47, 41, 47, 34.
And are these kind of Friday?
These are the games this season
on a Friday night. Prime time Friday night viewing.
Albeit when a lot of League of Ireland fans are obviously at other games. But my point is, with the figures you show me there, why did you not show Bowes and Dundalk in Europe? These are the games people want to watch.
Yeah, but...
Like, everyone around the league will watch it, and people who don't even watch the League of Ireland will watch it, in my view.
Okay, so there's two things. Number one, you have to be conscious of what was actually happening this summer in terms of the games that we're doing. Number two, we can devote all our resources to doing 15 or 16 European games. We then don't...
Our league games, you mean, sorry?
No, 15 or 16 European games, like your Ireland. arguing Bose versus Vitesse.
Sorry, yeah.
We don't then have the resources to do Sligo versus Pats or Derry versus Finn Harps. Mm. Like, this is not a never-ending pot that we can dip into to say we'll do 16 games in Europe and we'll do another 16 games.
So can
games
you monetize?
The
you can monetize Rovers in Milan with viewing figures like that, but not necessarily a lesser. Can you not sell that product well enough in the Viva Stadium? Say we can show this because we're not going to lose money on
no,
it.
No, but I don't get involved in the commercial side of the house. My job is purely editorial. What happens on the commercial side is nothing to do with me.
But you have to answer if people aren't watching.
But there are people. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. As should be the case. Doesn't matter what it is. If it was Dermot Bannon building a house and it's not getting the viewing numbers, it's not going to sit at 9:30 on a Sunday night. Mm. You know, if it's Champions League on a Tuesday night and it's not getting the numbers, it's not going to sit there on a Tuesday night. If you get a primetime viewing slot on a Friday night and your product delivers, then you're elected. If you get a primetime viewing slot on a Friday night and your product doesn't deliver, it's perfectly legitimate for people to ask questions as to why are we continuing to do that product? You know, and you're now in an extremely competitive environment because the URC will come back on a Friday night. TG Cahir will have rugby running there, the soccer. And if the run into the League of Ireland title is not a competitive race between two or three teams, if Rovers are 12 points ahead with five games to go, it's not necessarily, and don't get me wrong, I'm nothing against Rovers winning the league by whatever they
win. I know what you're saying.
But the point is, it has to be competitive. Mm. So by the nature of that, that's what drives. It's a very, very competitive. But we don't have a never-ending pot that says, let's do 10 European games, but yes, let's also do the 15 games. Look at the game last night. So the Republic of Ireland women's game against Australia only came to the table a matter of weeks ago. And we said, yes, we will do it. That involves us making a decision to resource it in a particular way. So we show that game last night. That game last night averaged 100,000, and to your point, Dan, peaked at 171,000. It's not solely about the numbers, but you can't ignore the numbers. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Okay,
yeah.
So you've got to be conscious of that.
So to just go back to my original point, I the one thing we've actually discussed it here, I mean, I will say, like, yeah, the Bose Pout game in the Aviva, like, you know, you do come away from that stadium that night going, how was this game not on TV? Right? Yeah. Now, we've met this point here before. If they'd lost 4-0, we might have had a different perspective. And sometimes League of Ireland clubs need to win their way into the news cycle.
Correct.
You know, and if those results were delivered next year, I think it would be harder the year after if you do not justify covering those games, if you know what I mean. I think we have to accept that as League of Ireland fans that, for example, Shamrock Rovers Bratislava this year, the first leg, we had a discussion about this.
Yeah,
they were, I know you're talking about the home game, but the away game.
They were 2-0 down, and if the penalty had gone in, they were 3-0 down, and everybody would have went, gone to bed.
And sometimes it didn't look good.
And sometimes with women's sport, that could be the same, you know, low key against Spain when they lose, but then if they win, it's like, well, this game should be broadcast and so on. But I just want to just nail something down here that, and I do accept that you can't budget for like 10 European games. It could all be knocked out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They could all get dreadful draws and all be gone. And we know that can happen with the league. But if you do commit to doing a couple, does that mean it becomes 12 or 13 league games? You know, from the FAI's perspective, do they want Airtricity League games covered because Airtricity League are their sponsors? You know, are European games complicated to slot into the deal? Do they impact on your deal if you show a couple of them?
Yes, they do. Your question's well founded in the sense that yes, they do absolutely eat into a budget, because as I've said to you before, like there's a budget there with regard to domestic soccer coverage, and we have to work on the balance of that. So in some cases, we may go, okay, well, that element is going to cover a European game. That may mean one game less in the league. But I go back to my point originally. If Shamrock Rovers are winning the league, 12 points ahead with five games to go, the onus to do those games are less than what they would be that if there was a dramatic title run on the way in.
No, I accept
and
that.
Everything was at play.
I accept that. Now, one thing I would say about the European games this summer, like, for example, recently on RT News Now, there was another 21 game shown away to Bosnia-Herzegovina. I assume that was a last-minute job. I'm guessing there wouldn't have been a mad amount of cost involved with that, right? I don't think I'd be wrong to speculate as much.
Right on both counts. We were literally negotiating. I think that kickoff was 3:00, if I'm right.
Yeah.
We were literally sort of still working on that game at 11 a.m., which is why the publicity
it was all about last minute. Now, like Air Sport, for example, and we said this podcast started with Air Sport, like they would have specialised in picking up a lot
last ditch
away games in Europe for a modest amount of money. You know, I think you said, would there not have been a possibility around the European games? Like, for example, when Bose went away to Pauk, when there had been a massive interest in the first leg, to give that game, even if it was just the RT News Now and the RT player treatment, maybe for one or two of those away games in Europe, that yeah. you were getting a bit of heat. Not that you should just respond to heat.
No, but, no intention
but,
of it though.
But these games were, I track data in my place of work in terms of readership of match reports and games. When the European clubs go well, all of a sudden it shoots up. And it struck me that the second leg, even away from home, could that have got the RT News Now, RT player treatment? Yeah. Would that have involved a massive expense?
Would it have involved a massive expense? No. We also track the numbers in those games. Yeah. And we know what the viewing figures are for some of those games. So let's not exaggerate that.
But the Ireland 21's game...
Either.
You know, would that have been massive numbers?
Okay, let me deal with the first point, and then we'll come back to the under 21 game, because I think that's worth doing. I think the nature of this discussion is all fueled by the summer that we've just had.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, what people don't appreciate, and I don't necessarily expect them to appreciate, because they don't know the nuances of the way companies work or organizations work. We have a small team, relatively speaking. Like, you know, you're not dealing with CNN here or Sky Sports or otherwise. We've just come out of a summer whereby we've done the Olympics, the Paralympics, the Euros, the GAA Championship, and an awful lot of other stuff thrown in as well. You can't just go, right, lads, lash that up and it'll be grand. There still has to be a level of organisation. There still has to be commentators. There's still co-coms. There's still off-tube positions to be booked. We talked earlier on about people not travelling away, which has been driven by COVID. Mm. There still has to be. There's facilities. There's operations. You don't just walk into a booth down the corridor and go, right, lash up the feed there, lads. We'll put a comm on it and stick it out on News Now. It still takes a degree. When I said about dealing with the under 21 game in Bosnia and Herzegovina, we were trying to get that for about a week. At 11 o'clock that morning, we still didn't know whether the actual feed was going to come into the building. Mm. You try telling people that they're going to see a game at 3 o'clock and then not deliver to it, and then watch the level of abuse that you got. Mm. So I think, while I understand why this summer has fueled the discussion, I think this summer is not the basis on which people should be working, because it's a summer like no other because of the events that I've mentioned previously. Like, the level of organisation and logistics that are involved in putting out an Olympics, a Paralympics, a Euros and a GAA Championship as the four main blocks is phenomenal. It's absolutely phenomenal. And like, you know, there's only so much that you can do. And again, I fully understand the expectation on the national broadcaster to step up. That only goes so far, with the best will in the world. There are other broadcasters that are, you know, not there. Yeah. They're not there.
No, and listen, people acknowledge that point.
And they didn't have to.
And you have a responsibility when it comes to public money and stuff like that.
Absolutely.
Of course you do. But, I mean, listen, I had someone get on to me recently in the midst of the Bowes Pauk, you know, someone in an industry position who was pointing out, like, did you cover the Lions tour in South Africa?
For radio.
For radio. Which News Talk already had the rights for those games.
No, that's not correct. They were
doing commentary.
They were co-exclusive, or non-exclusive, depending on what way you want to put it.
Well, you had a situation where there was going to be radio commentary on two channels of that game. You know what I mean? Like,
there was going to be commentary on a different radio station to the national broadcaster, and I, as the head of sport, have an onus to look at something like the Lions and go, does the national audience that I serve in terms of RTE Sport deserve to have that? And the answer to that was yes. So we sent Michael Corcoran to do the Lions. And if we were to make that decision again, we would absolutely send Michael Corcoran to cover the Lions, as we have done on every other Lions tour, because of the level of Irish representation in that, because of the level of public interest in that. That's public service.
Again, even if it's already on a commercial station, if you know what I mean, but in the context of public service, to some people would say it's to see something that people won't be able to hear or watch otherwise.
There should be a competitive environment within all broadcasting, whether it's TV, radio or online. The day that the head of RT Sport steps back and goes, that's on another commercial radio station and we're not going to go for it, and it's a matter of national and international interest, is the day that that individual, male, female or otherwise, should be fired out the door.
That's a fair point. It's just a point in the context of, you know, you have a limited budget. I think people who read the news will be aware that RTE obviously have a limited budget.
We have 60 million to find and cuts across 3 years.
But there are times, obviously, where, you know, there are events that aren't being seen by a TV audience that people will turn to RTE as well and say, this is why there's more scrutiny on you than there is on the commercial
stations. Yes, absolutely.
Stations.
Like, as it should be, Dan. I have no issue with that whatsoever. And I have no issue with criticism. You see, this is one of the points. There's no issue with criticism. Absolutely none. We should get it. We do get it. it's in the nature of the beast that it will come anyway. And some of it is perfectly legitimate. The point is, there's an onus on me to explain why we do what we do. There's also an onus on me to debunk some of the myths that are out there. Like, we were offered games for free and we turned them down.
Can you deal with that now, actually? Because we said we'd come back to that. With Bose and that line.
Yeah, so the nature of the Bose offer, per se, it was that there was one conversation involving a member of the Bose management team, not management team as in soccer team, but the Bose club, with a member of the RT staff. That was relayed to me on the basis of, would we be interested? Now, remember, this is before a ball was ever kicked in Europe. Would we be interested in taking the Bose game? The response that I gave back to the member of RT Sport, which was relayed back to Bose, was, we'll do what we've done consistently for the last number of years. We will follow the champions in Europe in the Premier competition, Rovers, in the Champions League or otherwise. And whenever their interest ends, we will then see what's available, which is exactly what we did last year with Rovers versus Milan, and exactly what we've done the 2-3 years previously with regard to Dundalk and with regard to Cork versus Rosenborg. There was no approach made to my office. There was no indication of the games being made available for free. There was a conversation which said, would RTE be interested in taking the Bose games?
Yeah.
And the message went back is, we'll deal with Rovers first, which is what we consistently have done. And when we figure out what the story is with Rovers, then we look at all the other games. Now, remember, we didn't know they were playing PAOK or Vitesse or anybody else at that stage. We didn't know that there was going to be 12, 15 games or whatever.
Yeah,
what we did know is that we had the Euros involved. Go back to the Slovan game. 2-0 down, Manus scores saves the penalty. That could have been 3-0. Second leg, utterly redundant. So that's the story with regard to the Bose element.
But Rovers Bratislava wasn't shown at home because
they wanted to change the time as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, but no. So with regard to Rovers, and Dan, you can correct me if I go wrong here. The first round clashed with the Euros. The second round, they got a bye. The third round, we wanted to cover, but we needed the game played at 5 o'clock because we were in the Olympics. Yeah. And Rovers couldn't facilitate that. Fully accept that. Yeah. It's the absolute decision lies with them. We could have shown that game at 5 o'clock. We had a deal done on the table, as in, there's the offer. It just needs to be a 5 o'clock kickoff. We can't do it at 7:45. We can't do it at 8 o'clock. If you can do it at 5 o'clock, you've got RT2. That was brought back to the club by the agent. And it wasn't acceptable. With regard to Rovers and Dundalk deal through the same agent.
Yeah.
I was in conversation with that individual before and after every single European draw. So even before the draw was made.
Okay.
So the draws are traditionally made on a Thursday or Friday, depending on games being played and all that kind of stuff and weather. So, like, I would phone on the Tuesday and say, we'll talk to you after the draw is made and let's see who's away and who's at home and all that kind of stuff. And the agent knows that the policy is we deal with the champions first and then we look at the other games. And that's utterly
okay, but
consistent.
But when Rovers were knocked out of the Champions League this year, they went into the same competition as the other clubs.
Yes.
Like, for example, last year, but when you showed Shamrock Rovers AC Milan, the champions, in theory, were Dundalk.
Yeah.
We were playing in Andorra that night. Now, I'm not insane. Of course, you know, like, Shamrock Rovers Milan is the game. But once Rovers were knocked out, they were in the same competition as Bowes and Dundalk.
Yes, but in previous seasons, we had done the champions first. We'd already showed the champions in the opening round.
So you're saying it's because you hadn't shown
Champions
League.
We hadn't shown Rovers. Yeah.
Okay.
We hadn't shown Rovers this year. And again, to be consistent with the policy that's there, which I absolutely stand over, is my view is, the onus is on us to show the champions in the Premier competition. And if we can't get to them in the Premier competition, then we show them in the first available competition. Once they are gone, then absolutely we look at the other games. But again, you've got to look at this summer as a whole, not in isolation.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. Just do you go to many football games, like interest, like in terms of Ireland games or League of Ireland games, or...
I go to some. I don't go on a weekly basis because my work and family situation don't allow me. But if you're asking, have I been to Daly Mount? Have I been to Oriel Park? Have I been to the showgrounds? Yes, absolutely.
Did you go to any of the European games this summer?
I was at the semi-final of the Euros.
Oh, sorry, you weren't at any of the League of Ireland teams in Europe?
No.
So just a broad point. Like, so I write match reports for RTE on the website.
Yeah.
I generally have very little fault with the online coverage. I think they cover every Premier Division game. And I know that comes at a cost. I'm a freelancer and they have to pay me, for example. But I think we're in a dangerous situation here where you have a scatter of managers basically coming out against RTE, having Stephen Bradley saying, forget about RTE, they don't have any love for us. You've Keith Long coming out with comments. I don't generally feel any real love from RTE for our product. And this goes back to Soccer Republic, its demise, scatter of mistakes week after week after week that were basically unchecked. We all make mistakes, but the product was almost left run into the ground. I thought that was very disappointing because now we don't have any highlight show. And I don't feel any love that's there. I follow racing. I think there's perfect love for horse racing in Ireland on RTE. Gaelic Games, obviously, it's intrinsically there. I don't feel any love for our product. It's almost like we have to show this, show it, get it out of the way, move on.
No,
that's what I feel. Oh, and I think I reflect a lot of people in that.
Okay. I hear what you're saying. I fundamentally disagree with it. And I disagree with it on the following basis. Let's take domestic soccer as a whole. We do the 15 games in the league. We do the 3 in the cup. We cover the European games when we can. And I've said to you, Cork through Rosenborg, through Dundalk, through Rovers again this season is there. We're doing more under 21 games than we've ever done before. We're doing more women's games than we ever done before. We did the Australia game last night. We're doing the qualifiers for them. We're doing the qualifiers for the under 21s. We did the Bosnia-Herzegovina game. What we're doing frantically, as in on an ongoing basis, is trying to get the exposure of those tournaments. We talked earlier on about doing the under 17 and under 19 tournaments. I think it was under 19. I'm open to correction.
I'm trying to think that under 19 one was the one with Joe Hodge, I think, but actually it doesn't matter. Really.
Right. Well, but the point is we're doing that. A number of those tournaments that we also would have done, that the Republic of Ireland would have been involved in, have been cancelled because of COVID. You got to take domestic soccer as a whole. It's not just the League of Ireland. There is the women's team there. There is the under 21s. There is the 17s. There is the 19s. And there's the senior squad. There's also 150 games that we did for Watch LOI when nobody could go to games, which people very, very conveniently like to push aside or like to criticise Watch LOI because it wasn't of the standard that they wanted it to be. It didn't have enough cameras on it. It didn't have enough replays. It didn't have enough eyeballs. That's the other thing that people refuse to acknowledge or fail to acknowledge. And the issue that will come back was, well, the product wasn't good enough to generate the numbers. Well, the numbers weren't good enough to justify the production of the product to the level that other people wanted to do. RTE Sport produced 150 live games over two seasons when people couldn't go. Now, to your point, no, just hang on a second. To your point in terms of public service and not showing love for the game, nobody else stepped up to the mark on that one, because that whole initiative, right or wrong, good or bad or otherwise, goes back to a conversation involving myself and Niall Quinn. And then Gary Owens was brought to the table, people in RTE were brought to the table, and the GAA were brought to the table. So there were 150 games covered when people couldn't go to games. Mm. And people will point out that there were, they'll say 10, I will argue it was about 5 games that crashed and burned. We had a camera sat down in Cork, we had a decoder sat down in Dublin, which cost us another game out of Cork, and Cork suddenly felt there's no love in RTE for the League of Ireland. There were 150 games covered by RTE. Where was everybody else?
On that
Where
point,
was anybody
on that
else?
Point, yeah, to be honest, like, and I've made this point, it's not like Virgin, TG Carr, Sky, etc., falling over themselves to rival you. And I was disappointed anecdotally with the figures for Watch LOI. I think the point has been made that watching the product on your laptop with nobody in the ground was kind of crap. And it's not really, the worry is with the service, but I wasn't blaming RT. I was disappointed in League of Ireland fans because they thought they're not spending any money on the football club and they're basically not going to spend a nominal fee for this. So I was disappointed.
I spoke to someone last Friday, this is a classic one, who was watching the Dundalk Finn Harps game. And I was like, oh, where are you watching it? Watching it in the pub. The pub has it on. And I was thinking,
it was a fiver.
Full pub in a particular town watching a game. You know, like, if all of those people have gone home and put their fiver
I get you on deck, and like, I think streaming is in its infancy, and I think it's going to become obviously bigger and bigger and so forth. But you did say, I can genuinely say there is no number. This is an interview that you gave kind of prior to it with Sport for Business. You said, I can genuinely say there is no number. People get obsessed with the numbers before something is even giving birth to. We need to be realistic, approach this in a fair manner, give it a fair wind. I see some of the commentary saying this will take a number of years to bed down. You can't just judge this one on the initial period. I think that's fair. Yeah. And in fairness, it is, like, it's literally a year. And like, this is stuff with no crowd at it. It was hard to watch at times any sport without a crowd. So I think you're jumping the gun there and saying the figures were crap because it wasn't given time to bet in.
Firstly,
I'm paraphrasing.
Firstly, I didn't say the figures were crap.
Well, they were, to be fair.
Secondly, the point is, The very nature of streaming should be at its height when people can't go to games.
Mm.
When people can go to games, the diehards will go to the games. Mm-hmm. Some of the floating audience will go to the games. So if streaming is ever going to work, it should be really when people can't go to games. So if the numbers don't add up then if you put 1,500 or 2,000 people or 2,500 or whatever it is into a ground, what do you think the streaming numbers are going to look like? The second point is, to go back to the first point that you made in relation to your last question, was... Let me take you back to the conversation with Niall Quinn, which gave birth to Watch LOI.
Streaming and so on.
Yeah. Okay. And Niall Quinn, to his credit, went, the Irish footballing family will watch this and they will buy into it, and the Irish diaspora will buy into it, and they'll do all that kind of stuff. Okay. It simply didn't happen.
Yeah, but hang on. Niall Quinn is not from the League of Ireland.
But the point remains the same. Mm. The point remains that I've given you the figures, 42, 47, 41, 47, 34 with regard to League of Ireland games this year. Liverpool and United will do, on a bad night, 250,000 mm-hmm. and 300,000.
Yeah.
The Republic of Ireland against Portugal will do 500,000.
Mm-hmm.
There's a massive disparity there mm-hmm. between the Irish footballing family. The women's international last night got 100,000, peaked at 170,000. That's mm. great. I think that's fantastic in terms of numbers. I think it's great for the next generation of girls that are coming along. I think what Louise Quinn and Vera Powell and Katie McCabe and the rest of the team did after the game last night is inspirational with regard to bringing yeah. people along. But the point is, the Irish footballing family, as defined in the broadest sense, do not back the League of Ireland.
I agree with you on that. I agree with you in terms of the might in Europe, but I feel you were bruised, and I suppose, if not bruised, reinforced by how bad the figures
no.
were for Watch LOI.
No.
I think it reinforced your kind of...
No, I'm going to cut across you there, because again...
You don't really have a love for the league.
No.
You yourself personally.
Me personally?
Yeah, like you weren't a Man United fan, obviously, because nobody was. You come from a county that doesn't have League of Ireland. You're one of many people in this country who has no love for the league because there's no local club and it was not something that was in your life. And I'm not blaming you for that.
But it does though,
because you're like it does because you don't have the love for it. You run RT Sport.
Hang on a second. Yeah. With respect, number one, you're making an awful lot of assumptions. Number two, professionally, it doesn't matter two hoots. It's not worth a ball of snow, to paraphrase badly John Hume, in terms of what I care about. Okay? I've never played hockey in my life. I've never been to a hockey match in my life. It doesn't mean I'm not going to put hockey on the table.
Yeah.
And when the women's team are qualifying for the World Cup or going to the Olympics, my job is to put the best of sport, Irish sport, on the TV. Okay? Now, you look at the best of sport this year. Off the top of my head, Kelly Harrington, Rachel Blackmore, Ellen Keane, Nicole Turner.
Patrick McElhinney and Bose Pauk.
Yeah, but the point is, it's got nothing to do with what my personal preferences are. It's actually quite insulting, with the best will in the world, as to what my personal preferences are. Sort of, you know, this sense that because I grew up in Monaghan and because I didn't follow Monaghan United, I've got news for you. Nobody followed Monaghan United.
I said that
because the lads arrived in a bus from Dublin and got on the bus and fecked off back to Dublin, and there was no local initiative with regard to it. That's why Monaghan 100%. United... failed. So the sense that I have some personal agenda here with regard to... Because this is what I get in terms of Dan's feedback, and if Dan went through my personal Twitter account, he'll find this out. Oh, he's from a gap in the ditch in Monaghan. Like, with the best will in the world, lads, I have a professional integrity, which means I put the best sport that is available to us on the TV, whether that's rowing, swimming, gymnastics... whatever code you care.
And I'm not saying that in a disparaging way at all, because I'm saying there's large parts of this country who do not watch the League of Ireland.
But you very much sort of said that I don't have any love for the League of Ireland, and this is reflective of what RT does. I'll take you back to the point. The Watch LOI initiative came from me to Niall Quinn, then went to RT, then went to the GAA. 150 games. It wouldn't have happened. The under-21s, I spend an awful lot of my time trying to flip feeds with different broadcasters to say, we're doing the Georgia match. Can we contact Georgia and can we get that game reciprocated on the basis of no rights fee, technical fees, we'll swap the signal in order to enhance the coverage. So the idea that somehow I am professionally against soccer is quite frankly insulting, and it's also false.
Yeah. No, I think to be fair, you know, from my experience of dealing with, if the figures were high, people in your position want stuff to get good figures.
I also know
there's a balance between the numbers and the responsibility, but I think if I will say this as someone who would have been critical of aspects of European stuff, but I also know if there was 150,000 people watching every League of Ireland game, I don't think we'd probably be having this discussion.
I think the discussion we'd be having is, can we do, instead of doing 15 next season, can we do 20?
Yeah. But can I ask you then, just with those figures that you referenced there, and with your previous, I suppose, your classification of figures, like, is the League of Ireland potentially in the drop zone?
Yeah, no, I knew you were going to go there. No, the reality of it is it's not, because, again, I believe in the public service remit of RTE to cover the sports within Ireland. Soccer is a very important sport. We do that. I could have, over the course of the last 3 years, reduced that level of commitment if we wanted to, because we would have said we could particularly do it now. Because, as I said, there ain't a list of broadcasters standing at the door ready to take over the League of Ireland. We have made commitments and we have had discussions with the FAI at the highest level to say, look, we want to back your product. We want to do the best for your product. There are certain things that you need to do. But the product is not just one component part.
You're not doing the best for the product. You're not doing the best for the product. It's very short, like the run-up to games. It's not the best for the product. There were scattered... There were so many mistakes on this product over the last few years. You're not doing the best for the League of Ireland.
Ayr
were a far better promoter of the League of Ireland.
Ayr were a far better promoter of the League of Ireland.
When they showed the games, they did more backup. They did more stuff around the games.
They did more backup. No, they didn't.
They did more kind of...
Dan? Dan, you worked for Ayr. You take that one.
Ask anyone who's watched
Ayr. I'm asking Dan, who worked for Ayr. And Dan can answer your question. Because he'll probably do it in a moment.
You're not doing the best for the League of Ireland.
Let's just bring this discussion back. There's various points within this, right? I think, like, certainly a frustration. We've had questions from people. So this is, we have questions from the audience here. I think one reference, and I can't fact check this off the top of my head, but they were saying, why is the build-up on Friday night 15 minutes relative to, like, 35 minutes in other sports or whatever? Like, what are your restrictions around the coverage on Friday night? I think with Ayr, listen, I don't think we can really go into that comparison because it's a very different...
I'm happy for you too, Dan. You know it doesn't stack up,
like,
Dan.
I know from having watched Dublin Mayo recently, and I'm not a particularly GAA fan, and I went into Casino Royale not long after the full-time whistle. Like, you know, there's obviously scheduling implications that a RG will have that an Ayr Sport won't have in terms of timing. So I don't think that would particularly be the way I would take this discussion personally, but...
I think he just saved you there, Johnny.
No,
but I'm not going to agree on that.
Listen, there are some questions. I would say that in terms of the coverage this year, like, you moved the resources away from the highlights Soccer Republic passage to concentrate on the Friday night package. You got the stuff put into every ground.
Correct.
You could do the goals. With streaming, though, can you do goals after games now from other games? Yeah. But after the Sligo Pats game recently, there was no goals from the other matches.
And we made the goals available to all the clubs, which was one of the great criticisms that we had, that we used to hold them until a Monday night and the clubs could use them.
Like, with the Friday night soccer, you can't... Could you go around the grounds after the games and show the goals?
We could.
You could.
Yeah,
you could.
There's nothing to stop us.
Like, it didn't happen with the Sligo Pats game recently. I wonder, was there streaming implications? It was actually a question I had myself. Is there implications with that? Because the Soccer Republic isn't there now.
Yeah.
A, because of figures, but B, because you were also diverted those resources into these Friday night broadcasts.
Yeah.
But, like, as someone who recorded the Sligo Pats game myself, I went home last week thinking I would see the goals from the other games. Didn't see them.
Yeah.
And then I was thinking, okay, well, this package that we went towards is now a slightly diminished version of that. That's just an opinion I would have around that.
We didn't discuss it with the FAI. I don't think, in fairness, and obviously I don't speak for the FAI, I don't think there would be an issue with the FAI allowing us to show those goals with regard to the fact that they're on LOI TV or otherwise. But it still comes back to this. So let's deal with the build-up of 15 minutes. Most of our build-ups are half an hour. Yeah. Sometimes they are 15 minutes. But again, lads, look at the reality of it is, if the product is such that the public demand it and want it, you're going to have a bigger build-up. 1 million people watched the All-Ireland football final. There was an hour and a half of a build-up.
Mm.
That's why. No, because 300,000 will watch for an hour and a half before the ball's thrown in.
Yeah.
And then it will peak at 1 million, and then 400,000 will watch the post-match analysis for as long as we will run it. The biggest frustration that, if you were to talk to the GAA team within my department, would say, we're rushed off Ayr, we're constantly out the gate, we have to take 3 commercial breaks, we can't get the post-match manager's interview in. You know, you've seen this with regard to even the internationals and stuff like that. We're desperate to try and get the interviews done to get everything
And you have to go. No,
It's not true that we do 15 minutes. On occasions, we do 15 minutes. But if the demand was there for the product, we do 30 minutes, 45 minutes, an hour and a half. As I say, like there's also so much padding. I got a complaint after the All-Ireland football final that there was an hour and a half of padding before the ball was actually thrown in. And I look at the numbers and I go, well, 350,000 people were watching that hour and a half.
Yeah.
So
and yeah. I think you've done great work in terms of some of your decisions with some of the people who are on RT and some who aren't. So I completely agree with you on that. But Declan, like going forward, like this 15 games model, like it just can't really ever work because there's never going to be a pattern there. Whereas to say, you know, or could we move games to like a Thursday night when there's no other game on, and Thursday night is your League of Ireland live night? Could we do something? Because we all want better viewing figures, but like the 15 game model is obviously flawed. But then if you have like, say, you have 20,000 people or whatever it is, 25,000 League of Ireland fans at a game on a Friday night, they're obviously not going to watch the game live. So what can we do in terms of making this better?
What can the FBI do to make your point?
So if we cover a game on a Monday night, well, there's only one game on the Monday night, are you telling me that our numbers go up by 25,000-30,000?
Obviously not.
Because I'm telling you, historically, they don't.
But
you go back to the Watch LOI product. Mm. One of the problems with the Watch LOI product was, despite the fact that you were getting all the games for the equivalent of a euro, the reality of it was the Pats fan wasn't watching Bowes versus Derry. The Derry fan wasn't watching Rovers versus Waterford. The Waterford fan wasn't watching.
How do you know that?
Because the numbers are there, and we see them in terms of the people who signed up, the season pass ticket numbers who were there, the number of streams that were going out. They simply weren't. And if they were, they were watching them in tiny numbers.
I think you're hitting at a very interesting point, because we're very insecure as League of Ireland people, as League of Ireland fans. But no, it's a very interesting point in that people may not necessarily watch other clubs within the league itself. And we have an awful lot of
work to do. They didn't support our sport.
They didn't support their sport. And I'm not coming here on a very, like, I'm on one side of this argument or the other, because I know we've massive problems in League of Ireland. As I mentioned, when I looked at the map last night, it was like, holy shit, we've the size of Northern Ireland here in one area with nothing. So I know, and they don't even have a League of Ireland ground, not to mind Galway United fans, whether they watch Rovers or Pats. But what can we do? Like, what can the FAI do to say, don't, like, as people would see it, don't treat this as something you have to show. Show it as if you want to,
Johnny,
show it.
You're still coming at it from the perspective of this is something that we have to show.
No, of
our commitment is there. It has been there consistently. It is continuing to grow.
And all the young players now are in Ireland, for example. So all the young Irish players until they're 18 are more or less in Ireland. So there's a massive kind of growth area for the League of Ireland, like women's sport, I think, which is fantastic, the women's sport. We're not seeing it yet in the figures, but there's such a growth area in young kids coming through. Kevin Zeffie's played in the League of Ireland already. You know, we've had young kids who are going abroad playing the League of Ireland. Evan Ferguson's playing the League of Ireland already. These stars are a narrative and they're a story. So I think RT like could see that there's a lot more there going forward, and we're only at the start for revolution, I would hope.
But you seem to be laying an awful lot of this at the door of RTE.
What can we do better?
I've already told you. Number one, the grounds need to be of a nature whereby it's a good family experience. Mm. You asked me before about going to games. I've been to multiple games in Oriel Park. 10, 15, 20 games in Oriel Park.
Not good.
Your words, but I'm not going to disagree. Okay, yeah. So where's the family experience there?
It also looks bad on TV.
So one feeds the other. Secondly, in terms of a competitive title race, you have got to have in a 10, 12 team league, whatever the level is going to be on any given 5-year period or 10-year period.
Yeah, but you'd show the Premier League if Man City were running away with it. Like, so that's not really relevant. Like, and it's relatively competitive. No, but it's been relatively competitive anyway, and it's still competitive.
It hasn't been competitive enough. Nobody is going to suggest that the league has been competitive enough.
Like,
over
with all due respect to the FAI, they can't make the league like Shamrock Rovers not better. There has to be more than that.
But there's layers to both
exactly.
at points there. Like I would say though, you know, if you're talking about like the facilities, this comes back to my point. You know, you say there's a responsibility to show X amount of clubs. Part of me wonders if cynically there should just be a targeting of the big games. And it's a case of saying, if your stadium's not up to it, then we're not showing you on TV, which isn't a popular move.
No.
But does that present and make a better product?
Potentially so, but good luck selling that to either the FAI or indeed the clubs, because like, you know...
No, I accept that. That's diplomatically difficult.
The argument that, you know, the Waterford players or, you know, the Derry players don't, you know, train as hard as the Shamrock Rovers players or the Bowes players and don't deserve the same level of coverage. If you're not in the top four, we're not covering you. That argument doesn't stack up. There is one point, Dan, in all seriousness, that I want to make here with regard to the broader discussion. And as I said, RT's not immune from criticism. I'm not immune from criticism. There's an argument that there should be criticism, and that's rightly so. Don't have a problem with that. There's also a line with regard to that criticism. That line has been overstepped this season with regard to some of the chanting and some of the behaviour with regard to RTE personnel on site and people who are engaged by RTE who are not necessarily RTE staff.
Do you have examples there?
Yeah. There are a number of examples over the last number of weeks whereby some of those who have been operating for RTE, working for RTE, not necessarily RTE staff, but working for RTE or working with RTE, have felt uncomfortable at best with regard to some of the behaviour that is emanating out of the stands. That's a very serious point.
There was a game at Tallaght Stadium in mind here. Is that one that was chanced from behind the goal?
Yeah, look.
You maybe don't want to go down to that road.
I'm not going into the specifics, but there are two recent games. Now, fans will chant. The nature of things. We've seen this everywhere across the world. Like, fans chant and sections of fans have their chants, and that's fine. If it stays at chanting and it stays against the corporate entity, then that's one thing. When it starts to target individuals or when it starts to make people feel uncomfortable when they're doing their professional duty in covering the league that everybody argues should be covered, needs to be covered and deserves to be covered, then that crosses the line.
Yeah. Did you contact the clubs about that in the nature of like, well, your fans are actually being intimidating here towards our personnel?
I need to be conscious of the language here, Johnny. I'm not holding the clubs responsible for their fans.
Hungary being banned now because of their fans.
The Hungary FA, yes, the clubs have been contacted and the FAI have been contacted with regard to it. Like, you know, we're not dealing with snowflakes here. There are people who go about their daily work and they understand the nature of the atmosphere that that takes them into. There are also lanes that cannot be crossed.
And I agree on that. But the sad thing now is that we have a situation where after this summer, the relationship has soured badly. And I don't know what the answer to this is.
But the relationship between who? The relationship between...
The League of Ireland fans and RTE.
Okay. But the relationship between RTE and the FAI is sound. The relationship between RTE and the clubs is sound. The relationship between RTE and, I would say, fair-minded fans is perfectly sound. I think anybody who listens to this and understands both sides of the argument, and I've said we're not immune from criticism, I understand the European argument. I understand the European argument, particularly in the context of the summer that RTE Sport have had.
Sure, yeah.
What I'm saying is, you can understand it, but there comes a point whereby you do not cross that line.
Yeah, we're journalists and we've all gotten criticism.
So, you say just it's not in the drop zone. So for 2022, are we looking at sort of something similar again, or is there a broader discussion to be had with the FAI?
I think I we discuss with the FAI on an ongoing basis and we'll continue to have those discussions. I think, you know, we look at it, Dan. I'm not going to sit here and say it's going to be more, it's going to be less, it's going to be the same. You wouldn't expect me to do that. No. What I'm saying is that RTE has a commitment to domestic soccer and Irish soccer as a whole.
Yeah.
And we will continue to do that. And we are utterly consistent in our approach. Like, again, an awful lot of this has stemmed out of the European games this summer.
Okay, so the deal is there a deal to be done at the end of the season, if you know what I mean? Is there a current contract up? Like, is there talks to be had over the winter? Just where actually is it at in terms of there's discussions to come?
There's discussions to come.
Okay.
And RTE, as you would expect, will enter into those discussions. I'm beginning to sound slightly corporate and slightly managing.
We'll
enter into those discussions in the same open-minded way. And we will make exactly the same points that I've made here today to the FAI. But the FAI are acutely aware of those points because we've been making them for probably 10, 15, 20 years.
Okay.
You know, so it's not fundamentally different.
Okay, okay.
But what I will say, Dan, is in the round, remember the women's game, remember the under-21s, you know, remember the 17s and 19s. It's not just about one individual product.
No.
Irish soccer is not limited to one individual product.
No, I appreciate that. But I guess the point is, do you understand where some of the anger comes from when there's a four-month window, which I've said it's... There's many reasons for that. It's the deal. It's negotiated. It's the other broadcasters don't step up to the mark. But do you understand as a principle where that comes from?
Absolutely.
Where there's no highlights.
I've said
program at all.
I've said repeatedly that I understand where that comes from. I don't fundamentally disagree with that, but I've also set out the rationale with regard to why that is the case.
Okay.
Not only this year.
I just have a couple more questions.
I was going to go to some listeners' questions.
Yeah, so just roughly, how much does the game in the Showgrounds cost, we'll say, the other day? Like Sligo Pats, how much does that cost in terms of sending a load of people there? Because Ayr seemed to do it, but obviously Ayr isn't here anymore, so I don't know. Like,
we're back.
You know what I mean? So, like, how much does that cost? I'm genuinely...
I'll bring you in here again, Dan. It costs multiple tens of thousands.
To go to a League of Ireland
game. To go to a League of Ireland game to do it. So and it depends. We can scale that up. So, for example, when we did the Rovers game, we put in 18-yard cameras because we decided that the nature of that game merited...
The Milan game, is it?
Yeah. No. The last Rovers game.
Sorry, Talon, was it?
Yes. Yeah. On the basis of that game merited. And if there was... Like, that was to get them over the line into really, really lucrative stages. If there was a decision in that game... You know, that was crucial. We wanted to be able to reflect that as we do. So we scale up the spec of the OB and that will cost us more money.
And my other question is, like, I love the League of Ireland highlight show. Match of the Day was my favourite show when I was growing up. I'm going to admit that. Then I got into League of Ireland. I loved the League of Ireland highlight show. Is there any prospect of League of Ireland highlight show coming back? Because personally, I think also it's a better product advertisement than live games because you get the best.
No, you're fundamentally wrong with regard to audience behaviour. So that's your personal preference, and I absolutely get that.
No, I'm just saying in terms of like the advertisement, because it's obviously the highlight, so it's the best of rather than. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, but the world has changed, Johnny. There are two premium products that remain in terms of highlights. There's Match of the Day, and there's the Sunday game. Okay. The world of sport is now live sport. It's either you're watching it live, that's the experience, or 60 seconds later...
It's dead on a Monday night.
It's dead an hour later because you're seeing it on your phone. Like, you know, or you've got, in some cases, you've got a dodgy stream of a Vine that shows you that Mo Salah scored or Patrick McElhenney scored or whoever it is scored. The point is, highlights are no longer... the product that they once were, because the nature of broadcast has taken over from that. So if you gave me a magic pot of an extra 100,000 to do more domestic coverage, you would do more live games, even though they're generating an audience that is not sufficient.
So
it's still 10 times more than the audience for the highlight show.
So 365 days a year, bar 15 live games that you're obliged to show, there's no League of Ireland coverage whatsoever. Nothing, no magazine show, no discussion,
365
nothing.
Days of the year, there isn't domestic soccer going on, Johnny. Secondly, with regard to the 15 games that we're obliged to show, as you like to use, we're not obliged to show them, we show them on merit. I've already set out that we did 150 games, more women's, more under-21s, more seniors, more 17s, more 19s. So your argument doesn't stack up. With regard to the radio coverage, with regard to the online coverage that you contribute to that you didn't have a problem with 10 minutes ago.
My job.
Absolutely. I have no problem. Good journalism means asking good questions. It also means hearing the answers.
I haven't read my match report.
your words, not mine. The point is, we do an awful lot of League of Ireland coverage. You know the personnel that are involved in RT coverage. Tony O'Donoghue, Damien O'Mara, Ed Leahy, Rory Houston, all these guys who are deeply, deeply passionate about their own clubs, whether it's Bowes or Sligo Rovers or Shamrock Rovers or James O'Toole, Derry, or whoever it is. So the idea, again, that somehow that there are either personal issues with regard to the League of Ireland, professional issues with regard to the League of Ireland, our coverage is extensive. Show me who matches it. Show me who comes close. Show me who's in the game, full stop.
Mm. But you have a highlight show, obviously, the Sunday game. You cover rugby in terms of against the head and all that. So you've stuff around the games. So pretty much in soccer, full stop, there's nothing but live stuff now. Is that right?
In television terms?
In RT, like.
In television terms. Yes.
So it's just live. So there's the biggest participation.
It's just live.
So, but there's nothing else apart from that.
But it's just live.
No, but there's no highlights. There's no magazine show. Is that not slightly strange? The biggest participation sport in the country?
The biggest participation sport in the country is covered extensively in terms of live product.
Mm.
If the numbers don't stack up, Johnny, you don't continue to pour more public money in my role after more public money. It has to stack up. The numbers are not the sole arbitrary factor here. Equally, they cannot be ignored. There is a public purse there that says sport is vitally important to the national interest. Sport is what we do. Sport we do better than anybody else. It's not RTE arrogance, that's just RTE policy in terms of we try and do it better than everybody else. We cover domestic soccer extensively and we look at every single rowing, hockey, gymnastics, show jumping. You know, we have to cover a broad spectrum.
Yeah, that's fair.
Domestic soccer is not neglected.
Okay, so listen, we are tight on time here. So we have quite a lot of listener questions. I think, to be fair, we've covered a lot of the headings in various. So we'll try and keep the answers short on this. People might already from listening will know the answers to some of these already. Is it possible to have
like a quick fire round?
Let's go quick fire
as
enough.
As quick as you can. Quick fire enough.
Is it possible to have a League of Ireland highlight show that goes straight to the RTE player as opposed to live TV? I.e., you know, this is from Liam Regan Grimar. Is, you know, a package that could just go on the player, you know, for example?
The answer to that is, yeah, everything is possible. Everything costs money. And you have to, you get to the point whereby you go, does the investment there justify the return there?
Okay. What were the viewing figures for the GAA Club Championship matches that RTE showed in 2019-2020? How would they compare to League of Ireland matches?
A bad game will do 100,000. A decent game will do anything above that, depending on the time slot when it is. If you pay, let me give you an example. Kilkenny don't have floodlights in Kilkenny, in Nolan Park or otherwise. So if we take a game from the Kilkenny Club Championship, it's going to play at 3 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon. That's not going to generate a huge audience. If you put a game in from the Tyrone County Championship, as we did last year, or the Cork Hurling Championship at 7:45 on a Saturday evening, it's going to do serious numbers.
Yeah.
So,
what are you talking actually for that then? Roughly like 150,000 maybe or something?
And keep going north.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Not that, but I mean, it goes to show timing is also quite important.
Timing is crucial, Dan, but timing with regard to domestic soccer has never seen them move out of the 7:45 slot.
Gaelic games
in every prime time slot.
No, I know that.
One of the criticisms.
Some of those Cork Rosenberg games were 6 o'clock.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
So yeah, but it's still.
I'm just saying.
It's still
I take your point, Brian.
In defence of Declan, Gaelic games in every corner of Ireland, the League of Ireland is not.
No,
GAA
is the national. It's not about pitting sports against the other.
No, it's not. But that constantly comes back, Dan, as in, you know, if it was women's rugby game. Women's rugby games have largely, wrongly, but largely been confined to a graveyard slot on a Sunday afternoon around about 1 or 2 o'clock. Mm. That's not prime time by any means. Mm. The Women's Six Nations outperforms the Electricity League.
Yeah. I'm not surprised.
Yeah. Joseph Kavanagh, Johnny, you sort of alluded to this. Is there any interest in putting the live game on a Saturday or a different night as opposed to a Friday? You've sort of touched on this. You say maybe it doesn't necessarily reflect in the figures, but a concept, as a concept of a product, would you think about moving the night?
We've thought about it for years, arguably decades. There is a Friday night slot there. If you look at Saturday night, you're into serious, even greater competition with regard to, and remember, the URC is now going to be there. Mm. The GAA club is now going to be there. You know, if you're getting X for product A, X plus for product B, and X plus plus for product C, where are you going to put your games? But it also works in terms of, like, we don't decide when the League of Ireland, nor should we, when the FAI play their games. Friday night is traditionally soccer night.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. There was the Conor Hoy question I was going to get here. Yeah, I mean, Neil Jordan, a lot of questions.
Neil Jordan?
That'd be an interesting, any commitments you want to make here. Could you ask him why they don't prioritise televising games such as Bowes Rovers? You've sort of dealt with that. There's a tendency to put on dead rubber games and then say viewing figures are poor. That's an opinion.
I get that, Dan. But again, it comes back to, like, there seems to be this sense, which is completely false, that we're making decisions. It goes back to the Watch LOI. McBennett set it up to fail. Like, that's utter nonsense in terms of, you do 150 games and somehow you set this up to fail. Like, let's go back to air. When you were with air, do you think that any broadcaster is going to go, I'll tell you what, RTE can have all the attractive games and we'll take all the other games? Mm. Like, that's not going to work. So air covered Bowes Rovers on an ongoing basis because you would have first pick, second pick, who's going to have in a particular week. The calendar will fall for you there because the schedule in RTE, air was a sports channel. The schedule in RTE has to accommodate multiple genres.
Yeah. Conor, what would Declan do if he worked in the FAI and was responsible for getting the optimal broadcast deal for the League of Ireland?
This is not an overnight project. I go back to what I said earlier on. The product has to look attractive. It has to be attractive to a dad and his daughter, a dad and his son, a family atmosphere, improve the grounds, bring the players are there in many cases, but the product has to be showcased in a manner that suggests that people will engage with it. Go back to the Irish soccer family. How much of the Irish soccer family is engaging? Not enough is the answer.
I agree with you there.
Yeah, that's the point. Yeah, listen, I think that's everything because we have a lot of questions that sort of repeat. So anyone who texted in and didn't get their question asked, I apologise, but I think, Johnny, you probably covered a lot of those thoughts and your questions, I think.
I don't know, it's been great.
No, we appreciate you coming in and embracing the discussion and embracing the debate. It's good to know that the league isn't in the drop zone with the context of the next season. So, I mean, the dreaded drop zone.
Is that going to be the one that comes back now in terms of McBennett said league's in the drop zone?
McBennett said league isn't. United were full of dubs.
Well, McBennett McBennett said
McBennett
league
stands over that.
Well, no, to be clear, McBennett said it's not in the drop zone at the moment. If I take it right, you said there's a commitment there to show
there,
it next season.
There is. So.
You can't go back on your word.
The national broadcast, in all seriousness, the national broadcaster should be involved with the National League in the same way that I believe we should cover the national champions in the Premier competition in Europe, etc. No problem with that. That's the way it should be. What we're all trying to do here, to go back to Johnny's point, one of the things that we agree on is how do we improve it? Now, the reality of it is there are stark implications for all sides here with regard to if a product doesn't continue to improve, perform, etc. It's got to get better. The marketing behind the league, the facilities behind the league, the standard within the league, some of the administration that you've covered extensively with regard to the clubs has to improve. Everything lifts, you know, rising boats and all that.
Yeah, yeah. I know, I hear that. And as I said, the optimal scenario is that the European results every year demand coverage, you know. And that's
Dundalk versus Key, 147,000. Rovers versus Milan, 212,000. You know.
Just need to play Milan more regularly.
On a serious point, if the League of Ireland were returning those numbers on an ongoing basis, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
That's a place to leave the debate, I think. Mm. And we really appreciate you coming in and spending some time talking and jousting with us a bit. But it was a good discussion. So thanks very much.
Thanks a million, Declan.
Thanks, Declan.
And we're going to throw now to some audio from Johnny talking to Ian Birmingham last Friday night.
This was after St. Pat's got their win over Wexford. And inevitably, we talked about referees.
Ian, into the last four. I'm just looking at the stats there. Pats have only one cup win in the last 50 years, which is obviously the one when... 2014, but you're well placed now to get to final, I suppose, are you?
Yeah, one game away now. Hopefully, we just look for a home draw, hopefully, and we don't really care, actually, to be honest, who we get, but it'd be nice to get to get into another final. As I said, it's been a long time since we've been in it, probably about 7 or 8 years, and hopefully we can go on now and get into the final.
Controversial night.
Yeah, I'm not even going to comment on it, to be honest with you, because I think everybody could see it himself. It's not. I don't know what to say because it's.
I don't want to talk about personalities here, but just in terms of the League of Ireland players and management, in all my years following it, I've never felt so much anger at one moment in time in the last week or two, where so many decisions, so many red cards, managers getting sent off, questionable decisions. It just seems players and managers are at the end of their tether a bit with it.
Yeah, look, no, I wouldn't be one to be going around slating anybody because, listen, it's a tough enough job, but some of the decisions, like. You see it for yourself on the video and stuff like that. Like, it's definitely not a sending off for Sam. Then Matty Smith goes down. It's 100% a penalty. I'm right beside it. Then Matty Smith wins the ball clearly, gives a free. Just so many of them. I know probably they probably had a few as well. Like, but it's just it's no consistency at all. And some of the decisions are it's laughable, really, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah, and in fairness, the game itself, you were presented with a big challenge there because it's 10-11 after, what, 6-7 minutes?
Yeah, I thought we reacted well when we went the man down. Obviously, it's going to be a little bit more difficult, but I thought we reacted well and we played well in patches and we were the more dominant team. They had a couple of probably little breaks, but other than that, but I think when I went to 10-10, then second half, we were a bit too open, I think, and they did get in a few chances and... We got the second, it was 2-0 and it was still kind of the game was still there to be won, and they got in a couple of times and on another day they might have nicking a goal back and then it's all to play for. But look, thankfully we're in the next round, it's all what it's about. Listen, we'll look back at the video and see what we can tidy up on. But the main aim tonight was to get into the semi-final and now we're one game away from the Avila, so exciting times for the club.
Wexford deserve credit, don't they? Because like for a team bottom of the first division, they were no way overawed by you.
No, brilliant. They were, in fairness to them, it was a really, really tough game, and as I said, they could have had a few chances, some really good players, and I know Paul Cleary was here with us a couple of years ago, a really good player, and obviously a couple of others impressed me there tonight, and you wouldn't think they are bottom of the first division, so credit where it's due. As I said, they could have nicked a goal there to make it a nearly few minutes, but look, thankfully we got the win and we move on now to the semi-final.
Well, Stephen O'Donnell is 2 years into the job now. What's it like? And I mean, when Griffin came in, your position seemed under threat, but you've quickly kind of re-established yourself as the left back.
Yeah, look, we've got a quality squad. Everybody on any given weekend, anybody can play. So you've got to be at it in training. I was out at the start, kind of wasn't sort of playing, and it was disappointing. But look, I trained really hard. I woke me off, and. I just would get a chance again, and I got a chance, and listen, we flip flopped out, but now sort of starting to play a few, more frequently now, and I'm enjoying it. It's probably the most enjoyable probably year, 2 years I've had in it.
Like, really, yeah?
Yeah, yeah, I'm loving it. And I said, I love coming in every morning, and the lads, great lads and great staff, and listen, it's all going well. And but look, we're only as good as our last game, so we've just got to keep building now. And obviously we had a disappointing result last week, but look, we bounce back tonight, and we'll bounce into the Rovers next week. Won't need any motivation for that game, and see where we go from there.
Not giving up on the title either?
No, look, we're just concentrating. We go and beat Rovers next week and see where it takes us. It's nothing handed out yet. There's still loads of games to play, and we'll just keep trying to win games and see where it takes us at the end of the season.
Dara Burns scored twice, and the Bancroft coming in at the end. Obviously, McCormack in midfield, and I think your manager was half giving out that you're not getting enough credit for the amount of young players you're bringing through. Maybe that's to do with the squad size you have, but it's great to see as well.
Yeah, brilliant. And they're all top class players, but they're all lovely, lovely people, lovely kids like that. Real pleasant, come in, do their work every day. And a great bit of crack as well. I love bouncing off, and they bring probably the better out of me as well. So, yeah, I love going in every day. A great crack and great little crew they are. And as I said, really, really top players, but they're really, really good people as well.
Is it hard to believe sometimes the age you are, like how the years fly by, and you're, I guess, you're one of the veterans of the squad now?
Yeah, definitely. I remember I travelled in with young Cian Corbley, and he said to me a few weeks ago, he was saying, oh, it's time to me, Nanny Verma. He says, she said to me, do you remember you done the summer camp when Burma was doing? I used to do a couple of summer camps, and he was on them. Like, so now he's up playing with me now. So it's, that sort of stuff, it kind of gets
years
you.
Fly by.
Years fly by. So yeah, so we'll be coming towards the latter end of my career now, and them boys are only starting out. But as I said, a huge future for the whole lot of them. So, and yeah, they're a pleasure to play with.
I don't know where you had any of the Bose games or Ireland in the Aviva Stadium, but you must be buzzing to get back there this season if you could at all, because especially after playing so many games the last year and a half behind closed doors, I suppose.
Yeah, no, it'd be brilliant. Look, we've been there a couple of times before, but that's in the past, it's years ago now, and it's a fresh group. It's and yeah, look, we'd love to go back there, and that'd be the aim. Obviously one game away now, but I'm sure all four teams that are in the semi-finals will feel that they have a right chance to get there. But look, we'll take on however we get in the cup. I think we're on our day, we're capable of beating anybody, and hopefully we're there come the end of the season in the Aviva.
You've had a good season?
Yeah, it's all right so far. I've done okay, team's done really well. I feel like I've done okay, and still going.
Happy days. Thanks for your time.
No problem, Johnny.
I believe you're doing a big piece Saturday about referees, Dan. It was a bit mad, like, because I think people were almost like, I spoke to people after the game, and they almost like, don't want to talk about it anymore. They're just so fed up with it. So that'll be interesting to see what you come up with Saturday in the Irish Independent. And Ian Birmingham telling me he's expecting a child in the near future as well. So it's all happening for Burmo. Great to catch up with him after the game. Declan McBennett, obviously.
It's a fiery discussion in Paris, Johnny.
I was like... Geez, Declan's really annoyed here.
Listen, I think it's important to stress that we didn't go chasing after
him.
No,
fair play.
He wanted to come
him.
And talk to us, and it's clearly something that he feels strongly about, and he wants to engage with it.
It was fiery.
It's an emotive topic for a lot of people, and I do think you do get the sense that sometimes RTE feel that there's a lot of scrutiny on them, when to be fair, there are other broadcasters showing Sport in Ireland at the moment who don't go there, you know. And yet, obviously, that has to be levelled up at the same time with, you know, the public service responsibility. And this is my point around some of those European games. I feel that if no one else is stepping up, maybe RTE.
Well, just briefly on that, because RTE is a mixed model in terms of advertising and public service, it's always going to be impossible to know where is the line here. And that's the one thing with RTE is that model. It's not the BBC. It's very hard to know, because he'll say the viewing figures don't matter, but then he'll talk about the viewing figures.
Of course. And that is the mixed model, and that's the confusion of it. And we got a lot of questions in. I'm sure some people are saying you didn't answer.
Apologies for that.
Didn't ask our questions. It's because a lot of the topics were covered by Johnny, and you know, some of the comments related to bulletins on the 9 o'clock news doesn't necessarily come under his remit, so it's not necessarily relevant to speak about them. We'll be interested to hear people's views on it. You know, I think what was stressed is that the league. You know, I do think that the figures need to be better. The point I do make is, like, I do know loads of people are League of Ireland fans who are, like, sharing registrations for the streaming and stuff. And
then
get annoyed when the streaming figures are bad. You know, like, I mean, and you know, I work for a paper that has a subscription model at the moment, and it's funny when people are asked to pay for something that can be, it can be funny. As I said, like, people watching games in pubs that are showing matches, like, it technically is like cutting the figures for what should happen. But listen, we cover a lot of different things within that. And I'm sure we'll get plenty of feedback. And, you know, if people send in their comments, we'll maybe try and address some of them next week if they feel there's more we should have pressed on or asked or whatever.
And
now, we need to force that pizza question.
Liam Holt from Future Ticketing has been on. We will be talking with Future Ticketing in the near future just about fans back at games, because thankfully, Dan, this has become the norm now. We're going to be able to, you know, and it's something we didn't quite mention as well. Like, as much as these games, we can still watch games on the stream as well. We can still watch our own clubs in the first division. It's almost like this, you just forgotten that this wasn't the case.
And obviously, I mean, yeah, listen, that's a broad, there's a lot of questions we asked there that could be questions for Jonathan Hill as much as they could be questions, or Mark Scanlon as they could for Declan, to be fair, about the strategy of where they're going to go with the streaming. Because some people are used to seeing their club play away from home on a Friday night that they wouldn't be able to go
exactly.
Waterford or Finn Harps or Cork or Dublin if you're any of those clubs.
Exactly.
Now, we need a four-star pizza question, and we're going to do this now, and it's topical in the context of the FAI Cup, because Dundalk are now through to the semi-finals. They're looking to make the final for what? How many finals in a row?
Seven in a row, is it?
It would be seven in a row, is correct. So if people can give us the name of the last club to knock Dundalk out of the FAI Cup, you know, in regulation, but they've obviously lost a couple of finals, but the last club to knock Dundalk out of the FAI Cup before the final. So there we go. That's our question.
Yeah.
This weekend's fixtures, Johnny.
Just on the RT website to get the fixtures. I've inadvertently gone into entertainment, in which the headline is Nicole Richie accidentally sets her hair on fire. Now, is that public service or is it like...
It's entertainment. I didn't even get a chance to talk about... if people are wondering how the great Tom is getting on, because every League of Ireland fan... No,
you just wanted to throw this in because you do one good deed. You give a lad a lift home from a game
I gave him a lift from Dundalk to RD. He was getting home. Some people have been concerned about Tom's whereabouts. I can confirm he's still with us. He's still going to games. He thinks Waterford are going to win the cup. And he asked for Gerry Thornley and Dave Kelly. And didn't appear to even recognise me for half the journey, even though he always slags me. But he's in good form. He's enjoying the games. And it's good to have him back. And even that's part of like the fan experience of the game.
100%.
It's the random thing.
St. Pat's Shamrock Rovers.
St. Pat's Shamrock Rovers, big game on Friday. Yeah. We'll do more around the games next week, right? Waterford, Drogheda, Dundalk, Sligo Rovers, Derry City, Longford Town, and Bohemians against Finn Harps. And there is a refix game Dundalk and Bowes on Monday. Yeah. And what's going on in the First Division this week, son?
Yeah, in the First Division this week, Galway United, I know, host UCD. Shelburne are away to Cabinteely. If I can get the fixtures,
you're still
up
reading about Nicole Richie's hair, aren't you?
Nicole Richie, it was accidental.
How did she set it?
How do you set your hair?
Set my nose on fire accidentally. It was to do with Flamin Zambuca. It's a pretty embarrassing story. Treaty against Cork, isn't it?
Treaty against Cork, Athlone, Wexford. In fairness, and Cove Bray
on Saturday.
So there is still an interesting fight for the fifth place lot there, and Paul Doolan's Athlone have given themselves a real chance. They're at home to Cabinteely.
I'm sure he would love that, wouldn't he?
Speaking of fiery, Dulo says you won't have us on the podcast anymore. It's like, well, we'd had you on more than any other podcast.
We'll have him on again.
Bring him on next week. Imagine him and Mac.
Okay, listen, that was a good chat. Thanks to everyone for listening. And yeah, we will be back as normal.
And that was in association with FutureTicketing.ie.